Good afternoon or good morning to those of you on the West, and welcome to the Talking Freight Seminar Series. My name is Jennifer Simone, and I'll be moderating today's seminar. Today's topic is environmental benchmarking in freight transportation. Before I go any further, I do want to remind those of you who are calling into the teleconference for the audio that you do need to mute your computer speakers, or else, as you've already probably discovered, you'll be hearing the audio over both the computer and the phone. Today we'll have two presenters, Larry O'Rourke of ICF International and Nate Springer of Business for Social Responsibility. Larry O'Rourke is a manager at ICF International, a management, technology, and public policy consulting firm. He has over 20 years of experience conducting studies of freight transportation, focused primarily on the trucking, rail, intermodal, and marine port areas. He recently served as the principal investigator on NCFRP Project 27, promoting environmental goals in freight transportation through industry benchmarking. He has assisted federal, state, and local clients with the development of transportation performance measures. Nate Springer is a sustainability professional who advises multinational companies on reducing the climate impacts of global trade. He currently manages BSR's Clean Cargo Working Group, which evaluates carbon emissions from container cargo carriers and leads research and analysis of fuel sustainability for corporate fleet operators. Previously, Nate worked with Malt Sustainability Partners to integrate environmental, social, and governance practices into the private equity industry. His experience includes writing sustainability reports for a utility and IT company, performing environmental and market analyses for Dow and Owens Corning, and producing an ecosystem services valuation of water-dependent industries in Central Oregon. He has more than 7 years in stakeholder and communications program management in the U.S. and internationally with the Peace Corps. Today's seminar will last 90 minutes, with 60 minutes allocated for the presenters and the final 30 minutes for audience question and answer. If you think of a question during the presentations, please type it into the chat area. Please make sure you send your question to everyone and indicate which presenter your question is for. The presenters will not be answering the questions during their presentations, but I'll start off the Q&A session with the questions typed into the chat box. The PowerPoint presentations used during the seminar are available for download from the file download box in the lower right corner of your screen. The presentations will also be available online within the next few weeks, along with a recording and a transcript, and I'll notify all attendees once these materials are posted online. Talking Freight seminars are eligible for 1.5 certification maintenance credits for AICP members. Please note that today's seminar is not yet on the AICP website, but I will send out an email once it is, and then in order to obtain credit, please make sure that you have logged in with your first and last name today, or if you're attending with a group of people, type your name into the chat box. I've included more detailed instructions in the file share box on how to obtain your credits after the seminar. And again, please note that the seminar isn't on the AICP website just yet, but I will let you know once it is. For those of you who are not AICP members but would like to receive PDH credits for this webinar, please note that FHWA does not formally offer PDHs, but it may be possible to receive them if you are able to self-certify. To possibly receive PDH credits, please download the agenda from the file download box and submit it to your respective licensing agency. Finally, I encourage everyone to please also download the evaluation form from the file share box and submit it to me after you've filled it out. So we'll now go ahead and get started with our first presentation, which will be given by Larry O'Rourke of ICF International. Larry, if you give me a second, I will bring up your presentation and you can go ahead.
Great. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sounds good.
Okay, great. My name is Larry O'Rourke and I'm from ICF International. I'm going to be talking today about some basically key elements here are just what is environmental benchmarking. So we're going to provide an overview of that, what the business case for environmental benchmarking is, provide an overview of the benchmarking process, discuss some benchmarking metrics that are applicable to freight transportation, and look at some major industry benchmarking initiatives focused on in the environment and freight, and then lastly discuss case studies. So much of this work is based on a project we did for the National Cooperative Freight Research Program, and the focus of this project was freight transportation air emissions, and the end product of this project was a handbook on environmental benchmarking for freight, and the handbook is basically divided by mode, and also includes sections for airports and ports, as well as shippers. And it essentially includes metrics and approaches for benchmarking environmental performance at the fleet level, facility level, organizational level, and at the quarter or supply chain level. So overall, I think the purpose of this project was to address a couple different problems. The first is that the freight industry, freight transportation, and even within individual modes of freight transportation, is a very fragmented and diverse market. And they're one of the problems that companies or organizations that want to do benchmarking face is that making appropriate comparisons is very difficult because there are all the different types of operations and markets that are being served, and there's a lot of diversity. So that's one issue. The other, I guess you'd say the opportunity of environmental benchmarking is that there's a huge opportunity because there are a lot of existing technologies and practices and approaches to improving environmental performance that already exist, that are being employed by companies and are tested and proven and can be applied to gain superior performance. So that's sort of the challenge and the opportunity of that environmental benchmarking proposes. So to start off here, what is environmental benchmarking? Benchmarking is a continuous process of measuring products, services, and practices against the toughest competitors. So the key element of benchmarking is external comparisons to other organizations or companies outside your own, and to learn from them. And benchmarking has also been said to be the search for industry best practices that lead to superior performance. So again, it's benchmarking is focused on identifying improvements, new technologies or practices that can improve operations. So the key elements or the key features of benchmarking in general, and then in specifically environmental benchmarking, are outward looking, first of all, so that looking outside your own organization to learn from what others have done. As mentioned, it's a search for best practices that are appropriate for your business. So here, again, this is the challenge in freight, is that there are so many different types of operations, different markets being served, that what may work for one company may not necessarily work for another. But nonetheless, the environmental benchmarking seeks to, through a thorough understanding of your operations and the operations of the organization that you're comparing to, it seeks to identify those practices that are appropriate. And then benchmarking can involve comparisons within your industry, or it can look outside your industry, so perhaps comparing to very diverse companies that have similar types of practices or functions as your own. And then it's focused on the most important parts of your business. So you benchmark the things that are going to have the greatest impact. And in freight transportation, benchmarking fuel economy is an important driver of both environmental performance and business profits. And so that is an area that some companies have certainly chosen to focus on. And ultimately, benchmarking is data-driven and action-oriented. So it's built on collecting data, understanding your operations, those of the organization or company you're comparing to, and then executing a plan once based on that understanding of how you can improve. So what kind of environmental impacts are we looking at? So the guidebook I mentioned that we produced in this project, it looks at both direct and indirect air emissions impacts. So typically these are defined in scopes. Scope 1 being emissions from equipment and vehicles directly owned by the company. So these are the things that companies have the most control over. Scope 2 emissions are associated with purchased electricity. And then Scope 3 emissions are indirect in the sense that they're the consequences of the company's actions, but they're not necessarily directly controlled by them. So for instance, a truck carrier might contract out to other companies owner operators, and they may have less control over those activities, or a shipper may use contract carriage and they would have less control over that, but nonetheless, you could still measure that and try to influence. In terms of air pollutants, we focused on criteria air pollutants, greenhouse gases, and air toxics. And in freight, certainly in on-road freight, NOx and PM are the two most important. For greenhouse gases, CO2 would comprise the bulk of greenhouse gas emissions, but CH4, NOx, N2O, and HFCs are also important. Diesel particulate matter is also a key air toxic that we've looked at. And I guess the key item here is to look at, freight transportation is a significant fraction of overall greenhouse gases from transportation, and as well as other pollutants as well. So our guidebook basically dealt with a set of different entity types. So the key modes, truck carriers, rail carriers, marine carriers, air carriers, major freight hubs such as marine ports and airports, and also shippers and receivers. So those are the key entity types, and the guidebook includes a section for each of those. And then there's scales of analysis. So those include fleets, the equipment types and so forth. Facilities, could include building efficiency or lighting in rail yards and so forth, metrics to address those types of issues. At the corridor level, you're really looking at a supply chain that spans multiple modes, or a geographic corridor that where you want to characterize the emissions from the entire corridor. And then at the organization level, you might be looking to roll up environmental impacts from multiple fleets or facilities and operations to provide a measure of the entire company's environmental impact. So for instance, UPS might estimate emissions per package. There are several key benefits of business benefits of environmental benchmarking, and one of them is through the process of conducting benchmarking, information and data will be collected that will be useful for other management functions as well. Environmental benchmarking in the context of freight often involves looking at reducing fuel use. So fuel is a major operating cost for freight carriers, and therefore reducing fuel use has significant reduction potential for the company. So there's real business advantages as well as the environmental advantages. There's also a competitive advantage to conducting environmental benchmarking, and this being that customers and other companies are looking to do business with firms that have a good environmental performance record. So environmental benchmarking can help companies demonstrate the good record that they have, or it can help them to improve that record. And then reduce risk. There's always potential regulatory risks associated with future regulations of environmental impacts or other types of risks associated with environmental impacts. So environmental benchmarking provides a way to understand what the environmental impacts are, and to proactively reduce those risks. So, and then another key benefit is look really from the stakeholders. Demonstrating environmental stewardship can raise the standing of a company with its stakeholders. And so the key stakeholders, customers, the local community, potential and current employees. It may help to improve recruiting or retention of existing employees for those who are concerned or want to work for companies that have good environmental reputation. And then investors, certainly many socially responsible investing firms are looking to invest in companies that have good reputation. So there are many benefits of doing environmental benchmarking. So the next section here, I'm going to talk a little bit about the benchmarking process itself. So we're not going to go through all of this, but essentially the environmental benchmarking process consists of several key components here. So planning, analysis, integration, action, and maturity. So to start off here, we'll go really talk primarily about the first two, since this is where many of the challenges have initially been identified, but the guidebook actually does cover all the other ones as well. So under planning, the first step is to identify the function to benchmark, and companies may choose to benchmark a whole range of activities. So they would pick important functions, and then they would break those functions into steps and analyze them to understand their own operations first, and then that provides a basis for understanding the operations of outside organizations as well. So the next step is to identify a best-in-class organization in that function and try to partner with them and compare. And so there's several different types of benchmarking that could be conducted. Competitive benchmarking would look at, seek to make comparisons to one's direct competitors. And this is always a very difficult area since, that information may be guarded or trade secrets, or obviously your direct competitors are less willing to share this information with you. So oftentimes companies will go to their industry, but maybe not their direct competitors. So for instance, a truckload carrier might seek to benchmark, get some information from other types of companies less than truckload that might not be necessarily direct competitors, or certainly not in every single market. Another type of benchmarking is functional benchmarking, which is to look at a certain type of function and seek to benchmark that. So for instance, the GM could benchmark their logistics function against Dell Computer's logistics function. And then another type might be just generic, so you could look at individual processes. So for instance, you might seek to benchmark a maintenance process in very different types of companies. So once you've selected the performance measures, once you've identified a firm to work with, then selecting the performance measures is important. And here you're looking really at performance measures that link to your own organization's goals, and also the performance measures that perhaps are collected by others. And there's certainly a balance that needs to be arrived at there. And then identifying the data, collecting it. There's a whole range of methods that can be used to collect this data. So moving on, analysis. Here again, the analysis process is really a structured process to understand differences between organizations. And key to understanding here is for instance, there's a whole range of issues that have to be dealt with, but how organizations collect their own data and how the terms they use and how things are defined obviously can differ significantly between different types of organizations. So in the analysis phase, those types of issues need to be dealt with. And then measuring and comparing an organization's performance, you look both at positive and negative gaps to understand certainly the things that you're doing right as well as the things that you're doing wrong. And then seeking to understand the underlying enablers or all the many different factors that enable one company to do something. It may or may not be possible at another company, but understanding the environment that makes those strategies possible is an important way to understand whether you can use those strategies yourself. And then identifying best practices, and those could come from a whole range of different things. So, vehicle strategies, it could be retrofits or new vehicle technologies, operational strategies, certainly in the on-road truck area, you're talking about driver training, or there's a whole host of operational strategies that could be employed, or infrastructure, could be, lighting or energy efficiency for facilities. And then this next slide here just shows sort of a type of analysis that could be done. And this looks at the enablers of fuel economy for a truck carrier. And it just shows the many different factors that affect fuel economy. and how complicated this issue really is. And so the benchmarking process would try to get a hold of all these different factors to understand what enables one company to achieve a certain fuel economy or a certain level of environmental performance. Understanding that will help you understand whether you can also do the same thing that they're doing. So moving on here, there's several different types of environmental benchmarking metrics. And this slide here just talks a little bit about some of the, there's an ISO standard that addresses environmental performance evaluation, and they've defined a number of different indicators. So there's management performance indicators, which could be considered the inputs to the process. Those are the things that management are doing. So for instance, do they have an environmental management system? Are they a smart way partner? You know, there's a whole set of things that management might be, initiatives they might be conducting that serve as the inputs. The operational performance indicators are looking at the measures of a company's operations. So, you know, emissions per mile or miles per gallon, those types of metrics. And then environmental condition indicators, looking at the actual condition of the environment. So typically, most benchmarking metrics would fall into operational performance indicator area. And then below, there's a number of different types of quantitative indicators. And again, probably most benchmarking metrics or most effective ones would tend to be relative or normalized, so that business operations of different scales could be compared on an apples-to-apples basis. So this next slide here shows sort of a sample set of truck carrier performance measures. And so the key point I'm trying to make here is that certainly there's a whole different number of ways that environmental performance could be characterized. So for instance, one might look at average emissions per mile, and this is a very common metric for comparing operations, but this wouldn't account for instance, the weight of the cargo. So in a trucking company operating over the road, certainly the weight of the cargo would have a significant impact on the miles per gallon achieved. So one could also look at emissions per ton mile to try to normalize for that. But again, there might be many firms that cube out they carry lighter cargo, so they cube out the load before they weigh out. So therefore, you might look at emissions per cubic foot mile. So, and then there's also a host of other metrics that could be looked at. Percentage of technology, penetration on your fleet for different types of technologies. Or you could look at operating measures such as idle hours, as percentage of total engine hours. So there's a whole set of metrics that could be looked at. So the next I want to talk about some major benchmarking initiatives that provide some examples of how this has been implemented. So a very important one is the EPA SmartWay Transport Partnership, and that initiative is a flagship program for improving fuel efficiency, and it has 3,000 participants. Essentially includes truck carriers, railroads, shippers, logistics companies. There's a new initiative to include barge operations as well. It looks at CO2 and NOx, PM10, PM2.5, and the primary metrics are grams of emissions per mile and grams per ton mile. And it allows companies, basically provides a systematic process for companies to report their data on fuel use and emissions. It provides a tool that allows companies to estimate emissions per mile, emissions per ton mile, and then the data provides performance bins that ranks company, based on their, are they in the top 20%, the next 20%, and so forth, into 5 performance bins, and then this information is available so that companies can compare themselves to others. And one of the benefits of this is that you can identify companies that are similar to you and see how they're doing as well. This next one here just shows another great thing this program does is that it provides market segmentation. So for instance, for truck carriers, it provides these metrics for a very detailed market segment. So they have truckload, less than truckload, and they have different types of specialized fleets, tankers and flatbeds and so forth. Individual companies can actually have multiple different types of fleets can essentially perform this benchmarking process for each type of fleet and then make comparisons to others. So Starway is a very strong example of this. There are a number of partnerships in the marine sector, the next presentation is going to talk about the Clean Cargo Working Group in that respect. There's also the Carbon Disclosure Project, which is a voluntary CO2 emissions reporting program, which is not just focused on freight transport, but has a very large coverage of across different industries, and it provides the ability to benchmark against peer groups. And also that project includes some information on mitigation strategies that companies are using. Another example in the trucking sector is the Truckload Carriers Association benchmarking program. And while this isn't specifically focused on environmental benchmarking, it includes a larger set of financial and other business operating information. They do include fuel economy, and it sort of incorporates all the key steps of a benchmarking process, including in-person meetings with other companies and the ability to network and understand strategies that made superior performance possible. And so I mentioned here also a few others, the Dow Jones Sustainability Index and the Supply Chain Consortium. So there's a whole different range of benchmarking programs out there that already exist. In terms of the status of environmental benchmarking in freight transport, SmartWay is probably the most widespread form of environmental benchmarking, certainly among truck carriers. In the marine sector, there's quite a number of initiatives, but many carriers don't really do environmental benchmarking, even for fuel economy, where there's a direct business potential or business profit impact. And a key challenge that has been identified is that, again, the concern that there's just too much diversity. Every operation is unique, and it's too hard to characterize the differences and to understand, to make meaningful comparisons. So that's at least the perceived challenge out there, and certainly for many medium and small-sized companies, there are many who don't currently use this. I want to talk about some examples of companies that have put this to use. One of the case studies that we did for this project was the Conway Fuel Benchmarking Program. So Conway, as many trucking companies do, has very detailed data available from truck sensors. So they have quite a bit of data on, for instance, the fuel used and where it's purchased, the gross weight of the truck, the origin, the destination for each movement, the vehicle miles of travel. They have there's sensors on the truck that collect information on shifting and braking, acceleration, speed, idling. So there's a lot of detailed information on driver behavior. There is also included in among this data the make and age of the truck, the transmission, the information on the engine and the trailer that it may be hauling, and any special features. For instance, does it have a certain, does it have an aerodynamic retrofit on it or and so forth. So they have a lot of information that's available. Now they do make comparisons to outside their organization, but obviously they don't have access to external data with that level of detail. But they do get comparative data from several different sources. So one of them is salesmen for OEM manufacturers, and so these, during the sales process, they have an understanding of what fuel economy people are getting, and that, and there's some information that can be sort of gleaned from that channel. There's industry groups that are the Technology and Maintenance Council. There are private carriers, and this is a sort of a finding in many cases that private carriers, who are maybe purchasing dedicated carriage, can communicate information about the characteristics that, you know, of the fuel economy they're achieving, and the information is communicated during the sales process. So, you know, they want to provide information on the fuel economy they get, so that the when they go to contract outside, they want the people they're contracting with to beat that. And then SmartWay as well. So there's a whole host of sources of information that are available. And then sort of how this is put to use, there are direct fuel efficiency measures. So, for instance, correcting fuel wasting practices of drivers through driver training, the types of equipment acquired. They conduct some very detailed analysis of the benefits of different aerodynamic features such as side skirts and under trays, and improve maintenance practices when to conduct maintenance. And then also information on when vehicles should be retired based on the fuel economy that you're achieving and the overall payback. And then there's larger corporate initiatives too, so dispatch software or the design of their LTL network or marketing strategy, which, you know, where to go after customers and to build density, and how can that improve the overall fuel economy of the company. So another example is Stonyfield Farms, and this example is a little different in the sense that one of the things that Stonyfield does is they collect information on the fuel efficiency and CO2 emissions associated with delivering products to customers. So they include metrics such as CO2 per metric ton of product delivered, CO2 emissions per customer, and they provide that information to customers who can use it to reduce the impact of their business decisions. So, for instance, the frequency of their orders, the volume that they're ordering in, this information can help them to make decisions about that, include an environmental component as well. And then Stonyfield also, they're working with Ryder, which is a third-party logistics provider, to redesign their LTL routes and reduce VMT, and they've made significant reductions there as well. And then the Canadian National Railway, CN, they basically want, we provide this as an example of a company working with the Carbon Disclosure Project, and using several different metrics, they use CO2 equivalent per gross ton mile for rail, and then they also had intermodal operations where they use gross ton mile per gallon fuel consumed that covers multiple modes. And one of the things they do working with the Carbon Disclosure Project is that program provides a systematic way that data is reported and collected, and so therefore allows comparisons between different companies. And then even though in cases where the Carbon Disclosure Project doesn't necessarily provide as sort of the official metric, the metrics the company wants to use, the program also included some detailed submissions from companies that provide more information. So that was one of the things that Canadian National Railway was looking at as well. And this last one here is a leading energy company, and this one is interesting because they basically conducted a very detailed overview of their CO2 inventory program. They provided use some benchmarking to understand what some of their some similar types of companies engaged in logistics activities were employing, the strategies they were using. So one of the things they found is, first of all, based on these comparisons, they developed a very detailed Scope 3 emissions inventory, and they came to understand that there's a significant air cargo is a very significant fraction of their overall CO2 footprint, and they implemented some management initiatives to make sure that air mode was being selected appropriately, which it was in many cases, but they did identify areas where they could cut back on air and switch to more lower carbon transportation options. And then also they had a wind turbine supply chain optimization program they put into place, which had significant cost savings for the company, as well as reducing CO2 emissions by a significant amount as well. Those are just some examples of different companies that have used environmental benchmarking, and there are obviously many more. So that pretty much concludes this presentation. I want to mention here that the output of our project is NCFRP Report 21, and it's Handbook on Applying Environmental Benchmarking for Freight Transportation. I provide the web link here. I actually have a number of hard copies which have already been printed, and I'd be happy to distribute as well. So that's it for me.
All right. Well, thank you, Larry. I think we have some good conversation going in the chat box. Encourage that to keep going, as well as post any questions you might have for Larry or for Nate as we move forward, and we'll get to the questions at the end. But now we're going to move on to our next presenter, Nate Springer of Business for Social Responsibility. So, Nate, you could go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Larry, for a great overview of benchmarking across the sector. I'm going to take off a bit from where Larry has started us and go into a deep dive on one benchmarking program, or one program that evaluates environmental performance, specifically for marine freight. And what I'm going to do over the next few minutes here is provide a brief overview of BSR, the organization that I work for, and then talk more specifically about the Clean Cargo Working Group, what we hope to achieve, what we are doing, some of the tools that we use, and some of the results for carriers and shippers who use marine freight services. So BSR is an NGO. We consider ourselves a hybrid organization in that we work with the world's largest companies towards the creation of a just and sustainable world. We are built around a membership network of about 250 multinational companies, and with them we do a variety of consulting, of primary research, and of cross sector collaboration to address some of the more intractable and industry-wide environmental challenges. Working with these companies allows us to understand what are the biggest constraints and barriers to the private sector making more progress on sustainability and human rights and social justice, as well as to help them to accelerate their initiatives. We are a global organization with staff across the world in 8 offices, 2 in North America, 1 in South America, a couple in Europe, several in China, and about 100 people, as I said, working across the direct consulting, research, as well as the collaborative initiative spectrum. As a part of BSR's work, we have a specific transportation and logistics practice that works with companies and our members to integrate sustainability into the supply chain, the transportation and logistics aspects of the supply chain, both environmental as well as social and ethical considerations and practices. We work with companies such as Maersk and Hapag-Lloyd, who are our maritime carriers, as well as shippers such as IKEA, Nike, and Walmart. We also have in our membership air freight, as well as such as and passenger like United, as well as UPS, who is moving packages all over the world. So the Clean Cargo Working Group is a part of the transportation and logistics practice, and it's designed to solve a specific challenge. We've been around for about 11 years now, and we're started out of the same program that created the EPA SmartWay EPA SmartWay that was referenced earlier, and I believe we have a couple of their colleagues on the line. But the challenge here is that transportation is a significant contributor to carbon emissions that are some of the leading causes of climate change. And yet it's very difficult to find reliable ways to track, measure, and improve freight performance and role related to carbon emissions. So we know that about a quarter of global energy-related carbon emissions have come from the transportation sector. And recent evidence also tells us that it is the fastest growing sector of transportation, of carbon emissions. So the challenge here is that shippers, such as companies like Walmart, Unilever, Nike, Heineken, who have made very aggressive emissions reduction targets in which supply chain is a big piece, need the tools to be able to measure their performance and be able to measure and evaluate the performance of their logistics providers. That's where Clean Cargo Working Group comes in for the ocean freight sector. We are a global business-to-business membership. Our mandate is to provide the metrics and evaluation of the carriers such that their customers, the shippers on the right-hand side there, have the information that they can use to compare and understand environmental performance among ocean carriers. We now represent the industry with about 85% of global ocean trade is now, container ocean trade is now represented within the membership of Clean Cargo Working Group. And we are also supplying information and tools that are used by the vast majority of our shipper members, the Nikes and the Coles and the Heinekens of the world, in their procurement practices. As a result of providing the measurement, evaluation, and reporting of environmental metrics in the ocean freight sector, we can say that there has been a 16% reduction of CO2 on average among carriers, ocean carriers, since 2009. And again, it's the visibility of the data collection process and methodology, transparency of the methodology that allows us to evaluate that across the entire sector. We now have, as of last year, we had almost 3,000 vessels that were reporting their information to us. And this year, we've had significant growth in our membership. We're expecting somewhere in the order of 4,000 to 5,000 vessels. We're just now wrapping up our annual data collection process. So what I'll do is briefly touch on some of the tools that we use to do this and try not to dwell too long on that, because probably what will be most interesting to you is the results. And so I'll be happy to return to this if there are specific questions on the specifics of how we go about doing the work that we do. Some of the tools that we use are specifically designed to provide qualitative and quantitative data from the 23 carriers that are reporting to us. So using our environmental performance metrics scorecard, we collect data on such metrics as fuel usage, on total kilometers travel, capacity, and total TEUs, the 23 equivalents of the vessels that report to us. So we also gather data on SOX and NOx, as well as the environmental management systems and wastewater and some various wastewater and chemicals data. We also ask them about their practices to reduce carbon emissions, reduce SOX emissions, NOx emissions, as well as we provide a framework for external verification, which we do not perform. But the majority of our carrier members are externally verified. The end result is a scorecard, you see this in the upper right, that then shows the individual carrier's specific carbon emissions performance, NOx, SOx, and wastewater chemicals performance as compared to the entire group, the industry average. The scorecard is that tool. This is a more detailed view of the scorecard itself. It's broken down by 25 trade lanes that we track and monitor and ask our carrier members to report on. So for every trade lane that they operate on, many of those are the largest in the world, such as Asia, North America, West Coast, Asia, Northern Europe, and then also we are tracking smaller trade lanes, such as those as the intra-regional trade lanes in Asia, North America, and Europe. Those are provided for both what you might call hot storage as well as cold reefer storage, and so we generate a carbon emission. And just this past year, we added sulfur emissions per trade lane. The second piece is we use this data to publicly share with the industry information on industry trends. We track and report on performance trends on the 25 trade lanes that we're monitoring. We also track the average carbon emissions in grams of CO2 per EU kilometer, and do that for, of course, all of the vessels that are in our fleet. We've been doing the performance reporting and sharing publicly for almost 7 years now. Finally, we also have an intermodal calculator that allows shippers and freight forwarders, and of course the carriers themselves, to do some carbon emissions benchmarking calculations and to have a carbon emissions calculator for their entire logistics supply chain. So we of course use our own data for the maritime mode, and then we will use the best available public information from EPA SmartWay for trucks in North America, from UK's DEFRA program for trucking and aviation and other parts of the world. And then a carrier or a shipper or a freight forwarder can then use those data and the inputs of distance and the emissions factors that we provide, as well as the publicly available emissions factors, to create to model their entire carbon footprint across the logistics supply chain. So as I said, we currently have a membership. We have 38 members. Most of those right now are the carriers. We have another 10 to 12 shipper members. And what is most appealing to us is, since our goal is environmental performance improvement, to see how these data are being used by various companies to improve their monitor, track, and improve their performance. So we'll start with an overview of how some of these tools can be used. One is that it allows shippers to quantify supply chain footprints, and then also to compare different operators, to compare different carriers. So as you can see from these just short back of the envelope type of comparisons here, looking at two different routes to Atlanta. You can actually use our data then to estimate the carbon emissions and choose a route which will result in lower carbon emissions as a result. Secondly, you can also, as a shipper, look at the individual performance and carbon emissions performance, as well as NOx, SOx, and these other environmental factors, to compare carriers A, B, and C, and estimate whether you would like to contract with those who provide a higher or lower emissions profile. The next thing that we do is because there is as of yet no standard across all modes in transportation and logistics, we are active in representing our members and representing the maritime sector across other modes. So we have relationships with EPA SmartWay, with COFRIT, with EcoTrans IT and others around the world who are developing standards, who already have standards, who are some of which, in particular in Europe, are at the early stages of leading towards regulatory standards. related to how companies will measure and report on their carbon emissions from transportation. We are the standard that is used by all of these for the ocean lay, and we are actively involved in helping to shape the direction of other lays such that they align with our standard. For the shippers themselves, as well as the carriers, we then provide a one-stop shop where they can access, in many ways, access the other standards. So, love to highlight a couple of examples from our members. Maersk Line is the world's largest ocean container transport carrier, and they have been an active member for many years. They're involved in Clean Cargo Working Group to be able to track and measure their own performance, and then to be able to set goals towards emissions reductions and then see progress towards those goals. They just recently released a 2013 sustainability progress update in which that they highlighted their involvement with Clean Cargo Working Group as the standard, as setting the standard for measuring environmental impacts in container shipping. They've also been able to track their own performance and have been progressing towards an ambitious carbon emissions reduction goal that they're on track to meet. Additionally, I'd highlight that again they find value in having the harmonization and alignment that we do across modes, so that their customers can compare them and other suppliers of transportation services. Nike has also been a member for many years, and they are using it to using the collaborative aspect to really find ways to transform the industry to help them meet their own and broader industry-wide sustainability and carbon emissions reduction goals. So the tools that we provide and the facilitation in our work between their carriers and others, and of course others within other shippers, enables a standardized set of expectations that reinforces their work to set expectations and goals for their service providers. They also appreciate the visibility across the industry. They actually use the industry-wide performance as a part of their own modeling and data analysis that tracks their performance towards their own emissions reduction goals. And then, the facilitation that we provide with the other shipper members and, of course, the carriers help to surface and work through common challenges, constraints, and move the industry forward. Finally, the alignment provided by Clean Cargo Working Group with this and other modes enables Electrolux to do tracking and emissions reductions across the entire transportation value chain. That includes trucking, that includes aviation and rail. So they appreciate that we are influencing and in contact with and used by other standards and other modes. They also use the detailed data that we provide on a regular basis, as well as the qualitative data that we collect on best practices to help them understand how they can promote emissions reduction and improve environmental performance in the maritime industry through their procurement efforts. And, of course, they've been actively involved in helping us to continue to improve the quality of our data collection and results such that they can get an even greater accuracy in understanding their environmental impact and goals to reduce those environmental impacts. So that would be, that's the extent of my presentation. I pared it down a little bit, and I can certainly go into some of the details. I see there's a vibrant conversation going on in the dialogue box, but I'll turn it back to U.S. Department of Transportation to moderate.